brother. What's up?
This is a groovy party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning, Sam. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing really fine. As you know, it looks like we may be turning a corner on this bad weather.
Fingers crossed, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing for certain, it can't remain that way forever. We're into April, and so things are going to get better. And things are always going to be better with my guest that's on the line, none other than Mr. Reggie Jackson. Hey, Reggie, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Earl. Good to be back on the show with you, man.
Yeah, man, it's always great to have you on. You've been educating?
Yes, sir. You know, that's what I do, Earl. Just trying to do my little part, man.
Let me ask you, man. We today is election day, and it's the first time in 18 years in the city that we're going to have a new mayor, man. What is your thoughts as we enter into you know, this time?
Well, you know, it's, I guess it's new territory for Milwaukee. You know, when I went out early this morning to the polls, I think I was the third person at the polling station to vote this morning. Didn't see many people there, Earl. I have this sense, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but I noticed normally leading up to an election, you get all of this material in the mail from the candidates, right? I haven't gotten anything.
Neither have I. They spent the money in the primary. It has really been strange, man. I got to tell you, man, I'm supporting Cavalier Johnson. And, you know, there are people who argue with me and tell me that, Cavalier Johnson is, you know, he's not this, he's not that. You know, but they can't explain to me any legitimate reasons why they would choose a man who is closer to 80 than he is to 60. I mean, I thought we were moving beyond that, you know, with Tom Barrett. I thought it was time that we, you know, looked at younger people with different ideas. How can you... 70 years old, Bob Donovan, that somehow he should be the guy.
Yeah, you know, it just feels very strange to me. I was talking to someone about this recently. When it comes to our elections, man, we just don't seem to have candidates that people feel very strongly about very often in our elections here in Milwaukee. We just seem to be churning through people that just don't light a fire under people. I know that whoever wins today is only going to serve for, you know, at least 2 years. That's not a lot of time to get a lot of stuff done, in the way people are expecting, like they're going to hit the ground running, but they literally only have a 2-year term. So it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out and how people react to, you know, whatever this person who wins the election does. And, you know, listen, man, Earl, we know well enough that we need some new blood in Milwaukee, man. We need some new, fresh voices. Whether we agree with everything they have to say or not is really not that important. I feel good that we have at least a younger person, regardless of how people may feel about Mayor Johnson.
You know, Reggie, you just took the words out of my mouth. What we do know and what we don't have is Tom Barrett. And Tom Barrett's 15 years. And he had his time. And it was time for him to move on, and it was time for us to move on. And as I said to people who give me all kind of reasons why it shouldn't be a Chevy Johnson, my response is, you know, you've got all the reasons why it shouldn't be. Give me some reasons why it should be Bob Donovan. And crickets. You know what I mean?
You can't.
Let's put it this way: we do know of former Alderman Donovan's record. He spent 20 years as an alderman,
right,
in the city. So right. We do have some measuring stick for as far as Alderman Donovan is concerned. Cavalier Johnson, even though it's a much smaller, you know, size that we look at of information on him, one thing we know for sure, he's a graduate of UW-Madison. And the last time I checked, you know, Reggie, they don't give away UW degrees. The other thing is he has not forgotten where he's come from. He's been at City Hall. And anybody who thinks that a new guy coming in to run Milwaukee is going to be able to, you know, come right in on the run and run the city, that's a ridiculous talk. You know, nobody can come in and start running a city the size of Milwaukee. There's a learning curve. And so we need to expect that and respect that. But I'll tell you something, man, I'm excited. Everything else has changed in our city in the way of leadership, Reggie. It's time now that, you know, the biggest seat, that there's change. And I just, you know, for one, not because many people, well, it's time we got a black mayor, you know, and I've said that black mayors are all over the country, man. There've been black mayors for 50 years. Just because there's a black face in that position, it doesn't mean that there's, you know, that there's some magic that he can sprinkle, and all of a sudden the things that ail, you know, the city of Milwaukee and black Milwaukee is going to change. Am I right or wrong in that?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think people have this perception that if you get a black mayor that, you know, that person is going to focus all his attention on the issues that the black community has, which to me, that's what my expectation is. If, you know, it's like the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? So we know that the major challenges Milwaukee has is in the black community. And anyone who wants to run this city has to be aware of that and really has to emphasize fixing the problems that the black community has, because the whole city is impacted by those challenges. But that doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen. I mean, we like you said, we've had black mayors for 50 years. You know, I was reading an article a couple of years ago about Montgomery, Alabama. You know, black mayor, black police chief, and they still have all of these people getting killed by the police there. So it's not a magic formula to fix Milwaukee. And I just wish people wouldn't have that expectation that that's going to be, you know, the magic formula. Milwaukee has a lot of really major challenges. It's going to take a long time to fix what's been broken in Milwaukee.
So let me ask you, as you've traveled the state and the country, Milwaukee is not alone in what ails it, especially in the black community. I mean, that's something that happens in black communities all over this nation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Milwaukee is in many ways a microcosm of black America. You know, many of the data points point to Milwaukee as being worse than many other places. But listen, we know very, very well, Earl, you and I, we've talked about this many times, is that it's not a Milwaukee problem or a Baltimore problem or Chicago or Detroit or whatever problem. It's an American problem. The way that black people's lives have been disrupted, the way that black people have been marginalized in this country for well over 400 years, is impacting us everywhere we are. Even I just read something recently about, you know, the difficulty of people in one of the most wealthy black communities in the country being able to even get a decent mortgage. And these are the well-to-do black people, you know, who have $600,000-$700,000 homes. And people are, you know, trying to cheat them in the appraisal of their home values. So this is something that America has not dealt with very well. And I always say that, you know, you can kick stuff down the road. You can kick the can down the road, but eventually you keep walking, you're going to see that can again. And we have just continued to kick the can down the road in Milwaukee, not working on some of these challenges, and they just get worse and worse and worse. But Milwaukee isn't unique. Milwaukee is, you know, is not the exception to the rule. Milwaukee is, you know, it's part of America.
You know, Reggie, keep waiting to see if America is going to somehow get a conscience and realize that what is happening, what has been taking place in black communities all over this country is a stain on this nation. And it's an embarrassment, and the rest of the world is aware of it. But yet, and I think that many in this country are aware of it, but it's, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You know, we don't have to worry about it that much because we don't see it, you know. We don't see it in this state because black people don't live, you know, we're isolated in one small eastern corner of this state. And as you travel the state, the rest of the state doesn't see it. And all they do is hear about it. And I think that, Reggie, that plays, what kind of role does that play in it?
You know, it keeps people in a state of ignorance, Earl. They don't understand the challenges Milwaukee has. They don't understand the history of Milwaukee. They don't understand that Milwaukee used to be one of the best places in the country for black people to live. That the Milwaukee they see today isn't a Milwaukee of 1970 or 1975. There's something that's happened in Milwaukee. And part of what I try to do is use historical context to show people this is how we got to where we are, Earl, so that people understand that when they're looking at Milwaukee and they're hearing all of these horrible things that they hear, that they have to understand the background, the context, in order to understand how to fix it, because you're blaming the wrong people for the problems. You're blaming people in the black community as if we just got lazy and stopped wanting to.
So let's do this, Reggie. We've got to go to a break. Reggie Jackson is on the line. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Right on.